This is incredibly significant.
There's breaking news out of Palm Beach, Florida.
The FBI executed a search warrant at former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate.
My beautiful home is currently under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents.
No advance notice is an unprecedented move in American history.
This is meant to prevent Donald Trump from being able to run again.
You can't imagine this would have ever happened to a Democrat. Remember Hillary Clinton's house? She stored troves of classified material. It was never raided.
There is no classified material.
Clinton's statements were wrong.
He deleted 33,000 emails.
What difference does it make?
And then there's Joe Biden on tape, the real quid pro quo.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
Hunter Biden, he's being investigated by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware. No search warrant there.
There's no family in American history that has taken more arrows in the back than the Trump family.
This is something we've never seen before.
This should shake you to your core.
It's very disturbing. They're on a witch hunt again.
DOJ is now being used as a weapon against Biden's top political rival. And if they can do this to President Trump, what do you think they can do to the rest of us?
And when I see somebody that's not competent and he's running something, and something that I have a big stake in, it bothers me and I do something about it.
Man, just like herpes, it doesn't discriminate, right? It just simply goes to who it wants to, and it attacks when it needs to. Unless, of course, you stay out of its path. That reminds me a little bit of our federal government right now. They're just imposters, right? It's like monkeypox. No one knows where it's coming from, but it seems like in the end, we all still get fucked. My name is Elijah Schaefer. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color in 8K graphics. We also have 4D graphics. Oh, wait, I have it the wrong way. I always pull on my tubes the wrong way. It hurts the ears. I'm gonna have a lawsuit. Like, 8 years from now, Blaze is gonna get a lawsuit. It's like, have your ears been ringing? Were you in a room where confetti was blasted in your face? You might be available for a compensation. I know about that. Joining the studio with me is the one and only contributor for Blaze TV and also internet troll and activist, Alex Stein. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Okay, one complaint. You don't get to see my beautiful face when I'm hidden behind this microphone. So for the ladies watching, I apologize. This is just the new microphone.
It can move down.
It's an
arm.
See, look at me. This is what I feel like. Now look at me. You can't even see my beautiful smile. Come on, Elijah.
You got to sit up like this. It's called a spine God gave him to us.
You got to move up. One. I'm spineless.
Spineless. Yeah.
You're just like Greg Abbott.
Just like Greg Abbott, of course, in the studio. Red Eagle Patriot, welcome back to Slightly Offensive. Also, congratulations on getting your channel back after it was deleted indiscriminately as well by the other party that's worse than the government, the big tech companies.
Exactly. And it was 40 hours in the dark. It was an interesting 40 hours to say the least, but we are back and we're better than ever. So it's epic.
Well, it's election season, everybody, which means all of our careers on the internet are currently on the line. Red Eagle, they deleted your channel. We talked about it here for scams and practices. And I got to say this. I'll tell you this. I paid you for the blowjob, and you didn't put out, so deleted. Scams. He did, too. He never gave you. You paid.
No, he gave me mine. I'm primetime 99. I always get mine. No, hey, but on a serious note, real quick, who made that awesome edit at the beginning of the show? That was
we'll pretend it was us. I don't know.
That was an epic video. No, that's the best video I've seen in a while. No,
well, it'll probably be credited in the credits.
Good
for them. But I'm saying he did get charged with scams, and this is the greatest scam that we're going through right now. Later on the show, we have Carrie Lake, who's going to be coming on a little bit. She's running for governor in Arizona. We're going to be trying to featuring more candidates because there's obviously irregularities going on. There's problems.
No, there's not. Every election is fair and safe. There's never been an irregularity ever when it comes to voting. That's all fake news.
The cleanest process in the history of our country, obviously, was the 2020 election. Most secure ever.
Secure ever.
Forced mail-in voting, jumps in the middle of the night, ballots being dropped off, not being allowed to question it, censored at every turn. Evidence preliminarily about the Sun being taken offline, everybody being undermined, channels being struck, political channels being silenced. That's how you run it free, ladies and gentlemen. This is freer than after the Civil War when the slaves, Chanchunko, was like, I can take my babies and no more cotton. We shall be free men. This was freer than that. A slave leaving to the North? Stop taking the spotlight. 2020 election, that's true freedom, my brothers and sisters. Read it and weep.
Elijah, this is what we call an Argentinian-style election. Those are the best. We know that Argentina has the best and most fair elections, and that's where we got our election protocol. So it's the most secure. We can sit here and debate all day, but it was the best election. 81 million votes, Joe Biden. He earned them, every single one of them.
Thank you, Joe Biden. And we're going to talk about that, but obviously we got to make sure there's nothing more secure than the election than possibly your junk when we're talking about what? Of course, we're talking about Undertak boxers. These are so good, guys, and I'm not even joking. I shouldn't even call them boxers. I should call them like a hidden best friend, something to take not only a safe that can't even protect Donald Trump's documents from the FBI. Guess what? You might not have documents, but you do have family jewels, and they need to be kept safe, and these can even keep you safe from the FBI. I'm not even joking. It's absolutely true. But not only that, these are absolutely amazing, because if you go to the local section of your shop where they have the He Hims store collection, you have the rainbow waistband, the kind that Red Eagle buys, you'll notice that the price of the boxers has gone through the roof. And just to make matters worse, the material is cheap, and these brands are run by a bunch of social justice warriors. But thankfully, I discovered Undertak. I'm actually, am I wearing them right now? Oh, hell yeah. Look at that. I'm wearing them right now. Undertak. I'm wearing Undertak boxers. I do wear them every day, so it'd be weird if I didn't wear them. But they are the only brand that has literally been battle-tested by special forces. They're such good material as well, highest quality. They're antibacterial, anti-peeling. They're not made with all those synthetic materials that don't that cause, you know, problems with you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Chafing? What problems?
No, the problems with reproduction and stuff over time. These are good stuff. They come with sturdy yet comfortable extra-wide waistband and a quick-release fly. They're ultra-light, fade-resistant, and they don't get wet very quickly. They wick the water away. Here's the best part. They're almost 30% less than the competition. Go to getundertak.com. That's GETUNDERTAC.com. That's getundertak.com. Get 20% off site-wide with offer code OFFENSIVE20. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And if this isn't enough, Undertak donates a portion of its profits to veteran-run organizations that are actively fighting human trafficking. Go to getundertak.com. That's getundertak, GETUNDERTAC.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE20. Check it out today. On that note, the future governor of Arizona, we are proud to have her on Slightly Offensive for the first time. Carrie Lake, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, Elijah. I like how you're just presuming I'm going to win, because I believe we are going to win, and it's going to be a great November.
Yeah, well, that's the mentality we have to have, though. We can't accept the losing, because that's what they want us to do. They want us to think that we have to lose and that we're going to lose, so that when they introduce irregularities, when they do their crazy antics, they want us to think that that's normal. And that's what I want to ask you. Do you feel like this election is as safe and secure as the last election, 2020? Or do you feel like voters need to be doing anything to be preparing for what's coming up next?
Well, unfortunately, we haven't been able to fully secure our elections. We had a legislative session in between 2020 and this last primary, and we still had issues in the primary. I mean, one of our biggest counties ran out of Republican ballots in the primary 1 hour into voting on election day. That's outrageous. And we still have many problems and many issues, but we have got eyes on the eyes and ears on the ground, and we are continuing to watch and work and try to stop any fraud that we're seeing. So we need to win by a mile to eke out a 1-inch win. And when we do that, we're going to get into office and we're going to restore honesty to our elections so that all voters, whether they be Democrat, Independent, or Republican, can go to bed on election night. They know who the winner is and they feel confident that it was fair. And even if it wasn't their guy who won, they feel confident that it was a fair election.
You know what? I agree, but I am going to tell you, I genuinely am nervous, right? I am a millennial, and I look at elections. Not only do I look at what's happening with the raid on Mar-a-Lago, having no trust in the federal government, but then I see DeSantis, and you know, this is in Florida, and you would expect there to be more of an action, more of a response. I don't see the reaction or the response that I would want. And so with everything that's going on, do you really feel like voters can be secure and be confident that if they were to say vote for you or people like Masters, and we're beginning to change the government players at the state and the federal level, that we're actually going to see a change post-election? Or are we just going to keep seeing more of the same letdown after letdown?
We did something so amazing last week when we beat back this establishment machine. And we did it by we the people stepping forward and voting. We had to vote in mass, and we came out, I won 70% of the election day vote, and we crashed their algorithm and we won. So we can do it. And we need to vote in America First candidates. We have a great slate of them. And even in our legislature, we got rid of a bunch of rhinos in the primary and America First candidates won. If we can get the majority, and I believe we will, I think voters are awake to the nonsense of the left and the nonsense of the Democrats. I can assure you, at the state level, we will make major changes that secure our elections for all voters. And this is why we have to go out and vote in the general election, like our lives depend on it, like our children's lives depend on it, and frankly, like the future of our country depends on it. But I believe we can make those changes. I know for a fact that's why I'm in this, to do big things. I'm not in this for, I don't have aspirations for a big political career. I want to get in there, turn things around, fix our problems, and then I frankly want to get on with my life.
No, and that's what I want to ask. If what we had saw happened with Trump's raid, and I want to get your opinion on that, as well as ask, if this were to happen, let's say in Arizona, if Trump's residence was there, would you have done more? Would there have been something that you could have done? Or is our government really down a path of corruption that the fight isn't actually as clear as we'd like it to be?
Well, I mean, you're assuming that DeSantis knew in advance about this raid. It's not like the feds, you know, call the governor's office and tell him that. I don't think he knew it was even going on. So the federal government kind of works on their own. However, I will say this, the federal government is corrupt. It's rotten to the core. And these agencies need to be challenged. And I believe that this last SCOTUS term where they took on that case, EPA versus West Virginia, was a huge, huge case. And they cracked open the door for us to start pushing back against these agencies that are filled with bureaucrats, that have no elected officials running them, that do not really represent we the people. And I plan to kick that door open and push back on these federal agencies. I don't know what more Governor DeSantis could have done, because I'm unaware if he was even knowledgeable as to that taking place before it happened.
So obviously I'm on a border state as well. We're out here in Texas, and one of the biggest issues for us is illegal immigration. I mean, we're looking at in New York, in Washington, D.C., when they're just receiving maybe a day's worth of illegal immigrants that we are confronted with every day in our state. They're calling in the National Guard. They're, you know, calling for federal help overall. I have a couple guests in the room today. Some people call him Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's boyfriend. Other people just call him one of my good friends. Alex Stein is in the room today, and he was excited that you were coming on and wanted to ask you a couple questions about the border, and had wanted to get your thought on some of this stuff.
Well, first thing I want to say, future governor, I'm a huge fan, and I want to say the best thing is I want to commend you on your confidence, knowing that you were going to win the primary when the polling was so close, or excuse me, when, you know, the early the estimate was 1%. You saw people like Meghan McCain trying to dunk on you, and just your confidence really showed her that she was wrong. So I want to commend you on that. And then the second thing I want to say is, you know, Elijah talks about the border, but we look at 108,000 drug overdose deaths this past year, the most in recorded history. How, when you become governor, how can we slow down the illegal fentanyl that's coming through the border and killing the youth of America?
It's the saddest thing that I deal with on the campaign trail. I've had more parents than you can imagine walk up to me, and they grab me and just say, I lost my 19-year-old. I lost my 17-year-old. I had a mom and dad tell me they lost their 22-year-old to, it's not even an overdose. These are poisonings. Their 22-year-old daughter took a half of what she thought was a Xanax pill and died. A half of any pill shouldn't kill you unless you're being poisoned, and that's what's happening. And this is why we have to take such a strong we need to take a strong case on fighting back what's happening on our border, and we need to take action on it. And that's what I intend to do. My border plan is called Defend Arizona. It is the strongest border plan that this country has ever seen. We had a great plan in place under President Donald J. Trump. Joe Biden on day one came and pulled that back, exposing the good people of Arizona to a criminal element, to the cartels running our border, and pumping in drugs. It's unacceptable. And that's why on day one, I'm going to call it what it is. We're going to call it an invasion. We're going to issue a declaration of invasion. We will send our Arizona National Guard troops to the border and actually stop people from coming over. And we will take on the cartels. They will learn very quickly that they cannot continue to transport drugs, smuggle drugs, traffic children, and traffic people through Arizona. They're going to have to find another state to do that. And pretty soon those states will get tough and we'll have actually a border that's secure once again. But it's going to have to fall to the states because we have an illegitimate president in the White House and we have a corrupt government who I believe is playing a part in this. And that may sound dramatic, but when you go to the border time and time again and you watch the constant flow of people coming in, you see the constant seizure of illegal drugs pouring across, and we're only catching a little bit of it. We're only confiscating a small amount of the drugs they're sending over. When you realize that the federal government is doing nothing to stop that, that's when you understand that they're part of the problem. And so it's going to require the states to take action. We intend to do that. And the feds are going to have to realize that it's going to fall into our hands, and we're taking control of our own borders to protect our people.
Incredible. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that because I think if people are listening to this, you know, most of the viewers on the show are somewhere between 18 to 35 years old. And, you know, you're so just lost and discombobulated with the state of the federal government, not realizing that most of the things that affect your life are on the city, county, and state level. And this is the most important place where you can actually take control of your life. Future Governor, I have another guest here in the studio today. His name is Rep. He runs a channel, Red Eagle Politics, that is predominantly focused on Gen Z and monitoring elections, making sure that there's integrity and looking at irregularities. One of my greatest sources on election night. And he had a question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to say congratulations on winning the nomination. It's definitely a big feat. And hopefully win in November. I'd hopefully love to see it.
Thanks to your generation. To be honest, I've been saying this all along. I started noticing it right away when I threw my hat in the ring to run for governor as just a regular citizen. We have Gen Z, we have millennials behind us. We are seeing the biggest movement of young conservatives I believe our country's ever seen, because you guys have been tortured the last few years, just like all of us. But you're at this age where you should be enjoying, you know, just great times with your friends and enjoying life. And these COVID policies took so much away from you. And I think it woke a lot of people up in your age group to say, wow, politics matters, because these political people, these political so-called leaders are destroying our lives. And it's moved a lot of people your age to get involved in politics. I think it's actually been great to see that they're coming in and getting involved in our campaign.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's the Zoomer realignment is what I like to call it, the Gen Z. A lot of young conservatives are really starting to be the ones that get it even more so than the older generations in terms of like the primary voters from what I've seen. But I had a question surrounding the issue of education, because it seems like this is an issue where Republicans have actually started to gain traction on in recent years, despite it being almost an exclusively Democrat favorable issue. So what is your plan to combat the critical race theory, you know, Marxism, indoctrination that's taking place in our schools?
I think we frankly need to ban that kind of curriculum. But, you know, so one of you, I can't remember which one, mentioned the down ballot races are so critical. When you look to the bottom of your ballot, that's where the races are that affect your life the most and affect our children, like the school board members and town council, city council, that type of thing. It's so important that we learn about who's running for our school boards and things like that, because they really do have an effect on our young people and on your minds. But I think from a state level, we need to start banning some of this nonsense. You mentioned it was a Democrat issue. I think it's been a Democrat failure, to be honest. In Arizona, it has been the Republicans who have provided education freedom. We started the whole charter school movement here. We have more than 200,000 students in charter schools, which gave them a choice. And it forced, frankly, the public schools to provide open enrollment so that people could move around from various school in the school district. Now we have, in this last legislative session, thanks to the Republicans, we are funding the students in Arizona and not the system. And now if you are in Arizona and you want to take your son or daughter and move them from a school that you feel is not serving your child or is offering some garbage curriculum, you can just take your child, move them to another school, and the money follows. It is a huge, huge step toward education freedom for all of our young students, and I'm excited about that. We're going to take it a step further with our education plan, and we're going to do dual-track education, which means after 10th grade, you can decide if you want to take that four-year college education, track, or if you want to, as a high school student, get vocational skills training, if you want to be ready to go into the trades, if you want to get certification to go into the many, many jobs that are out there that don't require a college education. And then you can actually get out of high school and go right into a high-paying job. There's no reason you should have to take an extra college or a training after high school when we could be providing that in high school and get our kids ready at age 18 for the real world and the jobs out there.
Awesome. I really appreciate that answer. I know we have to go in a second, but I did want to end with this. Everyone on this show has been realizing that we have a serious God-shaped hole in our lives. Even people that are atheists, agnostics, everyone's realizing the importance of spirituality, of faith. And I was told that, you have a statement that I saw that was saying, God placed us here for a reason. The very same God who parted the Red Sea, the very same God who moved mountains, is with us right now as we take back our country and save the Republic. Do you actually have hope that we will escape this dark winter? Do you think that God is with us, that he will deliver us, that we really can overcome? Because many of all generations are just feeling like we are a little too far gone to succeed.
I know that we're going to survive this and get through this. And you just gave me goosebumps because I'm so thrilled to see that people your age are realizing how important it is that we bring God back in. We've just not allowed any talk of God. We've pushed prayer out. We've pushed God out of our families, out of our culture. The only time now it's acceptable to bring God back in is in prison. Let's start bringing God back in on the early end of people's lives. And I think we can accomplish anything. My pastor says that we all have a God-shaped hole. And if we don't fill that with God, we fill it with something else. And usually it's not something positive. So I'm thrilled to see that your generation is picking up on that. I believe that we have been placed here, each and every one of us, to use our God-given abilities to get us through this moment, in this critical moment of human history and in American history. And God put us here for a reason, to save this republic. The whole world is counting on us to save America. If the light goes out here, if the candle goes out here, the whole world, it goes dark. And I, not for one second, think we're not going to be able to take on this task and accomplish it. But it is going to take all of us to get involved, and not to get political. We are at a moment where it's the Republican Party that is all about saving this country and doing the right thing. And so I encourage your listeners and your viewers to vote Republican and vote in November like your lives depend on it. Seek out the America First candidates. They are the ones who want to do right by you, by this country, and bring people together. We the people party now, I believe the Republican Party is.
Future Governor Carrie Lake, thank you so much. I'll leave you with this. I got word that, there's not only tremendous support in Arizona, but around the country. Bishop M.L. Moody from Redeemed International, who oversees over 50 churches around the area, said this: Carrie Lake is going to be a governor that would give God no less than 100% in her new position. And so from seeing that the churches, many people, and I was just there in Arizona, and the amount of signs for you and Masters and many other America First candidates show that the time for the establishment elite is over. The deep state needs to be held accountable. And we are not looking for a specific race. We're not just looking for a specific gender, like they like to say, that we're misogynist or sexist or racist. We are looking for qualified people who love our nation, who love the people here, who love their family, love God, and want to see this country restored. And we believe firmly that you are one of those people. So from Slightly Offensive and Blaze TV, we really appreciate you. And we thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Amen to all that you just said, and get out and vote. If you've got people out there who aren't registered, get out and register right away. We need all hands on deck saving this country. We need people who are qualified, God-fearing people in these offices, and people who aren't corrupt. It's time to bring in new people into politics, people who love this country. Thank you so much for having me on. I love being on, and I hope I can come back again.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Wow, Carrie. Oh, my gosh. That was insane for the Ukraine. And we know that she's America First, so she's not going to continue to give billions of dollars to Vladimir Zelensky. So Thank you very much, Kerry Lake.
We do. It is kind of nice. People want to know why we're having more politicians on. It's crazy because it's something called the Blections that are coming out, which they call them the Blections because last time was the Black Lives Matter elections, right? And so we're coming out. We're coming strong. And you got to remember to support all of us. We do have some crazy stuff we're going to continue to talk about on the show. But of course, do not forget, other than the elections, your credit score is probably a little bit screwed. And even if it's not, it could be better. Everything could be better. You can be stronger. You don't have to be so weak. And you need to know about ScoreMaster's three-week rule. I got to tell you about it. So the three-week rule is amazing, and it might be the best financial advice you've ever gotten. And why? Well, because what's the three-week rule? You wait 3 weeks to buy that new car or 3 weeks to refinance your home mortgage, and wait 3 weeks even to finance major purchases. The rates might be high, but they don't have to be as high if your credit score is better. Everybody knows that, including moving into a place. The house next door to mine literally blew up from a lightning storm. So all of a sudden you think you don't need a credit score, you don't need to move. And then all of a sudden your house is blown up because you live in Texas. That's how fast the average ScoreMaster user can actually take to boost his or her score, an average of 61 points. And listen, 61 points added to your credit score can save you tens of thousands on everything that we finance. ScoreMaster technology was developed by credit data scientists to boost your credit score higher and faster than you thought possible. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started, and you don't have to wait months for your best credit score. How many more points can you add to your credit score? Be sure to visit ScoreMaster.com/offense. That's ScoreMaster.com/offense, OFFENSE, for a special 7-day trial. I got you, folks. ScoreMaster.com/offense is the place that you're going to do to raise your score fast. Check it out today. So since we're politicking today, and that's why I brought politicking people on, anybody find it weird that after we found out we're hiring 87,000 IRS agents, which don't even fit into a stadium, that the Biden administration put as a job requirement two things? Number one, racism. They require a driver's license, which we know, sorry, boo. You ain't getting a job at the IRS. They think you're going to steal money, probably. They're probably racist. That's what I was thinking, because everyone knows black people can't get access to IDs. We know about that from the election. IDs are not black people's options.
I'm just thinking about how Patriot Takes is cutting that right now and posting on their Twitter. But we know that in a serious world that we live in, Kamala Harris did say that African-Americans can't get access to a Kinko's to be able to print stuff out. So these are the politicians saying it, not us.
That's what they said, though. They told me it was racist. They said, literally, blacks cannot get IDs. And I saw this and I was appalled for human rights violations. There's nobody else I want more to work a incredibly gifted job that's probably very rewarding and very fun, like working for the Internal Revenue Service, than my brothers and sisters from the hood.
Well, I got to make this point too. It's like the IRS, I think they spend 87,000 employees to cost them like $500 million or $1 billion to find like $400 million in back taxes. Like, it doesn't even equal out the amount of that they're going to pay the employees. They're not even going to find that much money in unpaid taxes. So it's literally just to destabilize the middle class and basically start like a third police force to come after it.
Yeah. And if you look at like the actual map of who they're targeting, like, it's not the wealthy people that they're targeting. They're mainly going after, like, if you look at the counties on the map, it's middle America. Those that are making like $20,000 a year to $50,000 a year, those are the people that are getting audited the most. They're the ones that are most affected by it. So it's just another ploy to go after the middle class and nothing else.
It really is screwed up. We have this article here from Biden's expansion of the U.S. Do you have it over there on the NDI? All right. Then I will open it up here on this little tablet from my old show that is somehow not working. All right. From iHeartRadio says, why Biden's massive expansion of the IRS should worry you. The latest bill being pushed by the Democrats, the Inflation Reduction Act, includes within it, it's a massive expansion of the IRS. How much will the federal agency grow? President Biden wants to hire 80,000 new agents. And Carol Roth, author of The War on Small Business, tells Glenn Beck, you should meet him one day. I heard he's cute.
Pretty popular guy, Glenn Beck.
He is pretty popular. This expansion is not a target billionaires committing tax fraud, like Democrats may claim. No, she says the IRS expansion likely was to target you and the other middle-class Americans who refuse to comply with our far-left leaders in power. And, you know, the Biden is seeking an extra $80 billion. Because it's like, what's crazy about this, though, that I find this nuts, is you could defund most public schools, already save a lot of money. This is absolutely a trap. And we know that, right, is that you already had, the Rockefeller people move in and try to tear apart the family so that they could then go to Rockefeller-funded schools and then they could indoctrinate you with the state and destroy women and destroy the family. Public schools are trash. But then also, like, I just found out the other day, we sent another $4 billion of taxpayer money or something like that overnight to Ukraine. Did you see the CBS? You just gave away our money, you bitch.
Yeah, but did you see the CBS report that said only 30% of the guns even make it to the front line? I mean, that's
I'm surprised it's that high too.
But I mean, like when CBS, the legacy media, is coming after you and exposing you, it's like, I wonder if the bubble, and I'd like to get, you know, Rep's opinion on it, but do you think the bubble's going to burst and people are going to realize that it was all a waste? Or do you think we're always going to continue to, no matter what, blindly support the war in the Ukraine?
I think a lot of people actually have woken up to it. I mean, we've seen recent polling that's shown that it's like 51% like disapprove of supporting like Ukraine financially now. So like a few months ago, that would have been like 75-25 because everyone was being gaslit by the media. But now we're starting to see the trend reverse. So that's a good thing because people are just angry. They're fed up at the establishment and they want America to be put first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's true. But I think it's funny that it's all coming from the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing about it reducing inflation. It's like sort of the backwardsness, right? Where it's like the monkeypox men who have sex with men thing, where it's like, there's another word for that. You know what I mean? We have another word. And so like Inflation Reduction Act, there's another word for that. It's called raising taxes and actually driving up inflation. And that's literally what this is. It's actually just raising taxes on the middle class and screwing us over. But they're always in this doublespeak. The same thing they did with the saying that July, there was 0% inflation in July. But yet that's not true because we don't monitor inflation by month. We monitor it by the year. And so the year over year inflation is still, even at a minimum, 8.5%, which means that you've literally, if you've gotten your highest typical American raise of 3%, most of the time it's 1% or less than 1% or nothing at all, you're still down 5% in cash at a normal income. You're still down per family household about $5,000 a year in terms of spending. But then they lie and they go, well, this month we're at 0%. You're like, well, yeah, since you underestimated this entire year by like 6 to 8% probably overall, I'm sure that it's not that hard to lie again. And they misrepresent the facts so bad that Twitter's own new self-fact-checking program that people can check. One of the first times it was used was on Jean Pierre's tweet. Mm-hmm. I almost said something bad. On her tweet that was saying that we're at 0% inflation. It was like, actually, this isn't true. That's not how inflation is calculated. Like, even Twitter's acknowledging, when Twitter has to get the side of the people and fight the government, you know they're just lying through their teeth.
Yeah, well, really what bugs me, though, too, is the Inflation Reduction Act. They give you a tax credit for an electric vehicle that gets charged by fossil fuels. So the idea that we're just going to be able to switch on everything to batteries that's just, you know, powered by the sun is just bullcrap. So it's just very redundant. None of it makes sense. And until the people stand up, I mean, they're just going to keep stealing from us. And, it's the cognitive dissonance that people suffer from, thinking the government can actually take care of business when all they can do is make things worse.
True. And we have Ted Cruz explaining the Inflation Reduction Act in video one. Let's go ahead and let's watch this.
This bill will hammer manufacturing. It will kill manufacturing jobs in this country. It will hammer small businesses. This bill will drive up gas prices. It has billions in new taxes on U.S. oil and gas production. We introduced amendments trying to take those new taxes out. So all the Democrats say they're worried and want to lower gas prices. They all just voted to raise gas taxes and to raise your price at the pump. This bill creates 87,000 new IRS agents. It doubles the size of the IRS. Those IRS agents are designed to come after you. They're not designed to come after the billionaires and the big corporations. They're designed to come after small businesses and working families across this country. The Democrats are making the IRS bigger than the Pentagon, plus the Department of State, plus the FBI, plus the Border Patrol combined. The IRS is going to be bigger. This is a massive power grab.
Sounds pretty big to me.
Doesn't it make sense? I mean, it really doesn't even make mathematical sense. Why does the IRS need to be the biggest governmental agency? I mean, what?
Yeah, I don't seem to understand. I'm just getting a headache from all of this. Honestly, like, there are things I want to do to these people that I can't say on the internet in video games, specifically on Call of Duty. I would literally challenge them to a game, and I would have the highest kill streak. But I will say that, you look at this, it's going so downhill. That's why I think I'm looking at ways to escape the tax haven, tax bracket in the United States. I'm looking at my options. I'm not joking.
Elijah's not joking. He just spoke for 30 minutes about how he's thinking about moving to Europe. So that's not a joke.
It's true. I know how to do this. I want to move outside of the Because they're coming after the Republicans for sure, especially the commentators. Like they know we're doing all right, and they know what's going on, and they know that we're having a good time and we're enjoying life. You can't let the boys have a good time. You can't let them enjoy life. You got to bend them over, and you got to rape them financially if you can't do anything else. If you can't imprison them from January 6th, take away their ability to enjoy their lives, right?
Yeah, they just don't want us to have fun. That's all this comes down to. They're mad that we're actually out here. We're, you know, being targeted, but we're still having a good time, and they're just mad about it, so they're going to crack down on us harder.
Speak for yourself. So I haven't had fun since Joe Biden has become president.
I don't even know how to...
I can't remember the last time I had fun. I mean, seriously, things have gone so crappy, and I'm not trying to be, you know, negative Nancy. But no, I mean, like, the fun is kind of over ever since Joe Biden got in the White House, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially with you've been having a little bit of fun, though. It looks like
I've been on the
something.
Grind, but that's because I can't have any fun, so I got to go out there and troll these people. I mean, me saying you're a big booty Latina to AOC is the most fun I've had in 2 years. So, I mean, I shouldn't have to sexually harass congresswomen to have fun. I should be able to just go to the Chili's and eat the unlimited, salsa and chips and just have a good time.
I know. You know what? I'm not having fun, but I am working on it because it's like, it feels like the middle class understands this. Every time we get some breathing room, they figure another way to screw us over. They go, do you know that gas prices dropped by 80 cents? We also are doubling the size of the Internal Revenue Service and we're going to rape your wallet. And you're like, well, you're only making me save up my money I'm spending on gas so the oil companies don't get it, and you do. That's all you're doing is, like, you want me to have more cash in my pocket so that you can take it from me. And what's weird, though, I don't understand why they're needing to raise taxes. Well, we know why. When they say unemployment is at its lowest, which means that then there's the most taxes that they're generating in the history of the country, right? This is the backwards speak of this whole thing. Let's play video number two.
But we also vowed to implement
speaking to a potato or something
for America's future. A future in which every person has the opportunity to succeed.
Can we rake up the volume on that real fast? Sorry.
And in the last 18 months, but we also vowed to implement our vision for America's future. A future in which every person has the opportunity to succeed and to thrive. And in the last 18 months, we have made clear, because of your help, that we are building that future. Just reflect on the past 18 months. In those 18 months, our nation created more than 9 million jobs, making up for every job that we lost during the pandemic. Today, unemployment is at its lowest rate in half a century, in part because of the historic investment we made to support small businesses during the pandemic, beauty salons, daycare centers, family-owned restaurants that were about to close, but that the president and I believed in. And we invested billions of dollars to help keep their doors open.
Tired. I'm just tired. I'm getting tired of this.
But she didn't even mention that we've lost a lot of full-time jobs and gained a bunch of part-time jobs. So, I mean, the economy is not doing that great. But it doesn't even matter. It's like, we can complain about the economy, all this, it's like the minutia of the system is like, people are getting screwed by the government and they can feel it, whether it's at the gas pump or whether it's the taxes they paid or just whether people are fighting and combating over toilet paper at the grocery store. Like, we need to come together as a nation or else it's only going to get worse. And I think that the problem with this, political spectrum is all they try to do is divide us. So that's why I think it's like we're kind of complaining, like the energy in the world today is we're just constantly fighting with each other. Now we have the Mar-a-Lago raid that just, emboldens the people on the right. And then you have Roe versus Wade getting canceled on the left. So now the people on the left are more riled up. So this whole entire political spectrum is just meant to make us fight each other like dogs.
Did you see this? So I feel like they want us to think like we're North Korean subjects. There was this speech that took place in North Korea recently where they were telling people that during the COVID height that the great Lord Kim Jong had a fever, and it actually made the audience cry. Did you see
I'm
this?
About to cry. Wait, he got a fever? I hope it wasn't over 100 degrees.
Can you go to my screen here? Can you go to my screen? Look at this. The sound, because I don't know what she's saying besides dumpling, soy sauce, kimchi, yummy. Go to the screen, because look, like, so she's talking and she's telling everyone, this is like his sister or something giving a speech. and everyone starts crying because all these people, because the good Lord had a fever. And this is like the kind of thing, it's like your dictator has a fever. I don't know if they really believe this or not. Sometimes I wonder if they actually do, or if you get points for crying for the video. But this is like what our government does in the United States. They gaslight us. It's like, oh, your governor that should be better off dead had a fever, and then you cry for the governor that you should be wanting to kill. And then our government basically screws us over the entire time and then says, congratulations, we gave you the jobs back that we took from you after we forcibly shut you down during the pandemic. And it is the ultimate gaslighting. It actually is. I, you know, I'm glad I saved money on my gas for my car because I have a lot of gas to light with the federal government every single day. They stab me and they go, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll give you free healthcare to fix your wounds that I gave to you. And then it's like, you know, if you don't comply with their new edicts, they just screw you. It's like one screw to the next. It's like an X that just keeps coming back, but it's never good. So it's like, we fix the economy. Like, not really. And then they say, it's, you know, who fixed the economy? We're the ones who got the jobs. We're the ones who built the companies. We're the ones who got out of it. You didn't do shit. You didn't do anything. We got ourselves out of the mess you put us in. And then they're like, by the way, thank you for recovering the economy. Now more taxes. I don't want to, I can't say anything else because I'm going to get taken off the air. I just can't say anything else about these people. Besides, bye. I don't want to see them anymore.
Well, this isn't, you know, this is kind of anti-conservative. You know, I think we should get a little more socialized medicine. You know, I was kind of mad the Republicans, even though they were getting screwed into not voting for a cap on insulin, but it doesn't make sense that insulin costs, you know, $170 in America, but it's only like $7 in, you know, Mexico. So it's just funny how our federal government will give you all the free vaccines you want. Even a monkeypox vaccine is free. But if you want to have insulin for your type 1 diabetes that you're born with, $200. So yeah, we're just getting screwed everywhere they can.
Yeah, it's freaking ridiculous. And I got to tell you this. This is what I was saying. Do you see the new IRS tweets that people are looking to hire? It's just so insane. It says they want you to know how to carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary, and be willing and able to participate in arrests, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. I mean, the IRS is not just expanding the government to 87,000 new recruits, which, by the way, will need to be vaccinated, will need to be woke, will have diversity, and will be at the lowest IQ probably in the history of any government employees besides the U.S. military. But also, too, not only need to be stupid, but you need to be able to kill people for not paying their taxes. And you know this is talking about raids. They want, just like they expanded the Capitol Police to be a national organization, a police raid organization and intelligence. They expanded the FBI to target, you know, humans in a domestic terrorism type case. They're going to use the IRS as an enforcement arm of the federal government to take your assets from you so that they don't have to go through procedures and accept requests from the FBI. So they don't have to go through other federal agencies, state police to assist. It's the IRS comes in, just raids your house, takes your assets, and leaves, and there's nothing you can do about it. You'll never see him again.
Well, yeah, since when did, like, the IRS become, like, another FBI or CIA? Like, these people are, like, the most boring people ever. They're, like, paper pushers. They call you about, like, oh, you owe me, like, a few extra $100 or whatever. Now they're going to be able to, like, knock down your door with a gun and point it at you to, like, get money that you earned hard working, like, seriously?
You better sell all your crypto. That's why they're going to have a gun with you. Give me the password to your crypto wallet. I mean, that's what I'm expecting with their police raids. You know, they need a gun to get what they can't get. And it's kind of like we're going back to the Mar-a-Lago thing. Ah, I got nervous.
They're practicing for the IRS coming through your door.
And they're definitely going to put a bullet in my brain. I wouldn't be surprised. So I just wanted everybody to know I'm not suicidal. If there's two gunshots to the back of my head, I did not kill myself. My point being, though, you know, them weaponizing the IRS, it's not much different than the FBI walking into Mar-a-Lago, not having to give a search warrant to an attorney, all because they have guns. So, I mean, literally, that's why we cannot let them revoke the Second Amendment. We got to have our guns, because whoever has the gun, even in an IRS situation, if they have a gun, you're going to do whatever they say. You know, if they say, oh, we don't need to have a warrant, if they have a gun, you're just going to let them in. So it's just very weird and very telling that that is a job requirement, to be able to use a gun, and not only just have the gun, but be able to use deadly force.
It is. And by the way, remember this, you can't protect everything, but you can protect your family and yourself online using a VPN. Guys, I would not use the internet without ExpressVPN. It's like walking your dog in public without securing them on a leash by not using one of these. Most of the time, you'll probably be fine, but at one day, your dog runs away or gets dognapped. It's better to be careful, especially when it's as simple as using ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network in cafes, hotels, airports, etc., your online data is not secured. Any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data, but ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so they can't. It'd take a hacker with a lot more skills, with a supercomputer, over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. ExpressVPN works on all your devices, phone, laptop, tablet, even on your smart TV. and it's so easy to use. Just fire up the app, click one button to get protected, and I'll tell you this. So basically, just go on. I've used this VPN in other countries to get past their malware, which prevents us from accessing sites like YouTube that you might be on right now. But most importantly, not only does it help you to get past these firewalls, but you can access content all around the world. My little sister was in Australia and she couldn't watch shows back here in the US. Boom, hop on ExpressVPN. Then you can just move and then jump onto a server here. But encrypt yourself. Don't let yourself be lost in the sea of people trying to steal your identity, trying to steal your information, try to track you down. Get protection today. Get an extra 3 months free of ExpressVPN free at expressvpn.com/offensive. That's expressvpn.com/offensive. ExpressVPN.com/offensive. Check it out today. Oh, I give up, dude. I already gave up on my life today. I just couldn't handle it anymore. Just seeing how ridiculous it is. I don't know if you saw this, but like you see the indoctrination continuing and you see what's going on in the country to where it's not just the government gaslighting you. It's also the government paired with the media, paired with the people that are easily indoctrinated and are going along. There was this interview that this parent had that they were scripting the child's trans admission. Did you see that?
Yeah, the mouthing it out. This is disgusting.
Look at this. This parent's like teaching and training their kid to be trans. Watch a parent train their kid to be mentally ill. Look at video number 3.
9-year-old Kieran Clausen collects crystals. She dabbles in face paint and she loves sports.
What do you play?
I did play volleyball, soccer, and I want to play basketball.
To Kieran, who's transgender, it's not about racking up victories.
I don't want to win any trophies for it, though. I feel like that's the most unfair way to compete because it's not about winning.
What's it about?
Having fun with your friends for it, though. I feel like that's the most unfair way to compete because it's not about winning.
Kieran seems undeterred with the message now about
winning. That's incredible. The mom literally is teaching her daughter to say the things that she needs to say to try to push the trans agenda. And I'm over here going, how is it that the media didn't pick that up? How is it that people aren't picking this up? That the ideas that we're seeing, the laws that are being passed, are not because people want them or people are expecting them for their lives. It's because they are being controlled, they are being manipulated, and they are being pushed into actually believing them. And it's not just the adults. It's not just the blue-collar, non-college grads like the elites like to make fun of. It's the children. It's the innocent. They're all being manipulated and destroyed piece by piece, one by one. And I'm just going, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to our nation if we're not able to get a hold of this. And if people like that are not held accountable, she should be arrested, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the amount of kids that are on gender reassignment hormones or gender reassignment surgery, you know, compared to like 1960s or 1970s. I mean, it's gone up so much. And that's not just because of acceptance. It's a lot to do with the parents. And then I think there was a good example of Taylor Hansen when we went to the Dragger Kids to Pride event. There was actually kids at the drag show for kids that were wanting to play their handheld video games, and the parents were grabbing the video game and saying, look at the drag queen. So this is a parental problem. I mean, the parents are the ones. These kids aren't able to make these life-changing decisions. They can't drive a car. They can't even pick what they want to eat for dinner. A lot of them can't even pick their clothes. But parents are letting them take hormones that totally block their level of maturation and ruin their puberty. All because they want to get likes and TikToks and get interviewed on ABC News. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's all about attention. A lot of these parents just go along with whatever is the trend, per se. And the trend that these, you know, people, a lot of these leftists have been pushing is that kids need to be able to choose their own gender. In fact, people have talked about making puberty blockers like mandatory or something like that because of the fact that, oh, it's perfectly safe, even though there are plenty of studies and counterexamples that prove to the contrary. And this is just another example of that. And the parents are going to the media and the media is going to the parents because the parents buy the media narrative and they want their dopamine, they want their attention. And the media wants something that's going to fit their narrative because they do everything possible to normalize it.
Yeah. And I think we have this last video here of it's not just the parents though, but it comes all the way down. I mean, the only reason why teachers are allowed to get away with what they get away with is because parents allow it. It's true. And you see when schools fight back or school boards are being fought back against, that sometimes there's actually progress being made. And this is a student, this teacher talks that our student or like this teacher, about whatever, is being called Mixed Miller, which I think is MX, which has to be non-binary. Let's roll video number 4.
In you.
There's so many kids.
So my students call me
Why did you whisper it so quietly? She got shines. Mix Miller is what they call me. Though I'll say, I had a teenager call me Mr. Luke the other day, and I kind of loved it. What do you think about Mr. Luke?
Yeah.
You like that one? Okay, yeah. I might switch it up to Mr. Luke at some point, but for right now, some non-binary, we've been going Mix Miller, and the kids have been getting it pretty well. Has it been hard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a little hard, but they're working on it, because they love me, right?
Yeah, okay. They love you, but you don't love them enough to just give them an education. I'm sorry, but I don't even want to know what size shoe my teacher wears, let alone where they're putting their pee-pee. If it goes in the poo-poo, I don't care about your gender identity. I don't care if you're insane. I already assume you are if you actually became a teacher in the modern era, because teachers are no longer the people that we know and loved and trusted, which many of them still exist today. But the new age of teachers are really just soldiers that are going out to indoctrinate children. They're looking to destroy kids by pushing their agenda and by making them confused sexually. And if they can't do that, we of course know it's called grooming, and that's what they're doing to kids all across the country. But you're not allowed to say that because that's wrong, except for the fact that's what they're doing. But it's wrong to say the truth because it's 2022. And teachers have more rights than parents. Kids are allowed to be abused. And if you call them out like James Lindsay did, you're going to get deleted because it's not right to fight for the innocent anymore. Welcome to America.
Yeah, well, I miss the good old days, like the early 2000s. I know I'm a few years older than both you guys. And there was a day and age when in America, there was like a mom that killed a rival cheerleader because her daughter didn't make the cheerleading squad. And then there was parents, there's people, kids would constantly get drug tested for steroids. So parents used to actually like encourage their kids to be like, ultra cheerleaders or be like ultra football players. And now they're just like giving them hormones to change their, you know, gender. So we've really gone off the plot. Like looking back, like you would have thought, oh, maybe that's child abuse to give your kids steroids to make them a better athlete. But compared to what they're doing to kids today, that is way better in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of like based actually. And now we've gotten just super soft because we used to actually like want to make our kids more masculine, the most, you know, masculine they possibly could be, or to make, you know, if they're a girl, make them more feminine. Nowadays, it's like exactly the opposite. They're taking the men and making them more feminine, and now they're taking the women and they're making them more masculine, and everybody's just ugly. They're fat. They're out of shape. You have a bunch of androgynous blob people just like running around, and those are the same people that are going to be running our country. They're going to be knocking down your door with the gun if they're working for the IRS. That's America in 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, guys, and I want to remind you too, we're trying to fight this Marxist fight, and there's a movie that I helped co-produce called Uncle Tom 2. I don't know if you ever saw Uncle Tom 1, but Uncle Tom 1 was more about like the movement of black conservatives, and Uncle Tom 2 is not actually really about black people, even though it is. It's to me, it's a movie that shows how Marxist-Leninist ideas came in and destroyed a culture trying to emerge, or a people group in America, and showing how they're trying to do the same things to our country today. And actually almost, I don't usually even cry for movies, but it actually almost made me cry when I watched the movie for sure altogether. I did some camera work for it too. And if you go to UncleTom.com, this is just a movie that I worked on, and you use my, you type in Elijah, I got them to give us 30% off because it is from Salem. But if you guys watch it, UncleTom.com, UncleTom.com, it's a movie coming out. Pre-orders are coming out. I'm really excited for it. It's been a lot of work put into it, and it's, will change your life. And if you show it to people, it'll wake them up. It's a red pill movie. Like you watch it and it red pills you to what's going on. Just type my name in. I think that's what I told him. I said, just tell him to type my name in Elijah, and it gives you 30% off. Cause I know inflation's high. And so I wanted to actually give you a real inflation reduction act on the movie I'm working on. And I'm really excited. And it premieres, I think, the 24th. So I'm really, really, really happy. So again, go to UncleTom.com. If you're a long-term SOB, just go there and use my code Elijah and pre-order and get it. Because it honestly supports, you know, the video, and it was just so much time and effort and money were put into that project. And so it's like, even to break even or whatever would be so amazing, because it's not about the money. It's just about getting the message out, and we need you to share it with people. Uncle Tom, we'll be playing some previews and trailers over the next coming weeks too on the show. And again, look for myself in the credits. I have a few different credits in the movie, so it's really cool. We've been working on it for a long time. I've told you guys we're working on a cool project. I'm allowed to announce it today, but go to UncleTom.com, type promo code Elijah. I do want to say this though, you know, as we come to a close on this show, as we come to a close on, this conversation next week, we're going to revisit and come back and kind of hit more culture stuff and be around there. We just had to give an update on the politicking of what's going on. It is so depressing, and it is so boring. Like it really is. Like I talk about this stuff and I'm like, this is just monumentally, it's a big pop in the balloon when you hear about it. And it's like, we've got to stay hopeful though. We've really got to stay like positive on this, which is why we have the new Clips channel. We have the new Messy Christianity podcast. We're trying to like do some more hopeful stuff, get you better clips out. But last words, boys, how do we stay positive? How do we stay hopeful in the midst of this triumph?
Well, I mean, first of all, our arts and entertainment sucks. I mean, Saturday Night Live, I say this all the time, used to be a great show. Now it sucks. Every movie that comes out sucks. I mean, I know Top Gun did very well, but I think other than that, the top movie before that was Sonic the Hedgehog 2 or Boss Baby 3 or something. So, I mean, there's not a lot of arts and, you know, media to actually distract us other than talking about another new political conundrum that's going to just raise our cortisol level and make us stressed out. So I think that's the problem, is we don't have anything good to distract us right now. And I'm not saying we should be distracted, but there's just nothing other. There's nothing out there that's even worth watching other than the destabilization of the United States of America by the Joe Biden administration.
I think that a lot of people just need to go outside a little bit more, spend less time on the internet, spend less time on social media, get closer to God, you know, pray, read the Bible. That's definitely something that people can do, and it's going to help them stay positive in the long run. So
true.
And smoke more cigarettes and vape more. That's going to make you feel a lot better.
Yeah. Increase your alcohol and heroin usage. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Be like Hunter Biden and just do a bunch of coke.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah.
And dude. Fentanyl. Don't forget fentanyl.
No, coke is like, dude, I like. Yeah, coke will just mess
it's
you up.
It's not good.
Man.
No, we're kidding. Do not do drugs. That is only going to make you
worse. No, don't do coke.
Worse.
Crack is better.
Yeah.
It's just quicker and cheaper, and you don't have as much of a come down. So Hunter was way ahead of his era.
Yeah.
You guys, just a nice mention to let you know, as we close out, Blaze wants me to remind you guys that we have these foot condoms. We have the Blaze socks at blazesocks.com. Using promo code BLAZESUB, BLAZESUB, to pick up your Blaze socks. They have a bunch. I have a bunch of pairs myself. Do you have a bunch of pairs? I picked up a few pairs.
No, I don't wear socks. You don't see. You see a sock on this foot? No, I'm showing ankles. This is how I make all my money. Pornhub.com/AlexSignsFeet if you guys want to support me.
Yeah, I don't really wear socks, but I bought pairs for my friends and families. I'm saying I got a few pairs. Okay. Thanks for helping me sell the socks. Blaze wants to let you know this. And I think, was this our last day of the promotion? Or we still have more days. Two more days of the promotion. Make sure you get your Blaze socks, blazesocks.com. Promo code BLAZESUB. And also, dude, people always like, with these ads, someone's like, how many ads can you put in a show? I go, okay, first of all, I don't put my ads in the show. Secondly, we're demonetized everywhere. You should thank God we should become QVC. We shouldn't even make political content. We should just be like, for 2 hours, like, socks? Wow, they look really good. Check these out. They're stretchy. You can put them over things not just on your feet. Don't recommend it. Watch, put them on your hands. Try them. Look, open them up. Wow, actually, open them up. You can open them.
They're so soft.
Yeah.
They smell like you farted on them, but that's okay. I like that smell.
Yeah, QVC. Anyway, check it out. Don't forget, we have a review today. If you watch the show long term, remember that we are a audio only podcast. You can get this podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever else you can get it. Go ahead and answer it. No, go ahead and answer
no,
it.
No, no, no.
No,
I don't answer
what
it.
The heck? Wow. Just before we end it. Oh my gosh, busted. He's too Hollywood to turn off the phone. I put mine on airplane mode, but I'm prime time.
I've answered a phone call, I think, on the last show too. I answered on the last live, I answered a phone call. Don't forget to sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah and leave that 5-star review wherever you can get podcasts. I'm a little bit off today because I need to go do a reset, mental reset, because the world just got me a little bit in that like mode.
You got to go
like,
to Lifetime Fitness and sit in the sauna. That
I did
help.
Today. I went to Steam Room for 15. Yeah, are you on Lifetime now?
No, but I'm just saying. I know you go there like crazy. Yeah, that'll help reset your whole chi.
No, I know. I need to go back. I need to go do that because I just need to get back into that. But anyway, let's read the reviews. Put up on the screen. Here. I'm Elijah's best blind podcast listener. He supports the truth and gives great on the ground reporting. Awesome stars for the best worst show on Blaze TV. George and Brandon are lulz, and of course Alex and my boy. Anyway, where can people find you? Where can they follow you, Rep?
Red Eagle Politics on YouTube and at Red Eagle Patriot on Twitter and Instagram.
And my boy.
I would encourage you not to follow me because you will have an IRS agent kick down your door. But if you still want to, it's Alex Stan on Twitter, Primetime Stan on Instagram, and Alex Stan on YouTube. Let's go.
Yeah, and you can follow us wherever you can follow us. Don't forget to follow us everywhere you can follow us. I'm Elijah Schaefer for Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. Have a great rest of the week. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.